Amidst all the discussions of who will win the presidency this year, who will win the Senate, who will win the House of Representatives, today we are going to, as our last episode in election month on Fight and Revive, narrow our vision a bit. We're going to look at two very important races for conservatives to hold, and that would be the races of Lauren Boebert in Colorado and House Freedom Caucus Chair Bob Good in Virginia. Buckle up, here we go. It's going to be an interesting episode today on Fight and Revive with Adam Boyer.
America is no longer one nation under God. Are you ready to fight for revival? Well, then you've come to the right place. Welcome to Fight and Revive with Adam Boyer.
So today we're going to look at two articles predominantly, which explain pretty well the state of the races for Lauren Boebert in Colorado, Bob Good in Virginia. We're going to start with Congressman Good here in Virginia, in my home district, actually, of Virginia's 5th Congressional District. I go to a lot of Congressman Good's events. I help out with his campaign frequently. That's one of the ways you get to see often the speeches I post on the channel of the different people speaking for Bob and Bob speaking. And speaking of which, actually, before we get started, let me let you know, if you watch the channel frequently, you've probably seen a lot of YouTube shorts recently of different speeches from a lot of conservative members in Virginia and otherwise that are speaking on behalf of Bob. And that was from a big event from Bob's, what he calls the Freedom Fighters tour that he did just a week or two ago, wrapped up. And so I recorded that entire speech, or all the speeches, in one long video, about an hour long, and that entire video of all the different conservative heroes speaking that were there at Bob's event. Some are local that you'll find out about and, you know, be able to be caught up to speed with some really cool local people we've probably never heard of, such as some delegates. You will get to hear from some national figures like Matt Gaetz. So that full video, I'm posting little excerpts from the video from different speeches in the form of YouTube shorts. I've been posting those, I'll continue to, and then the entire full video will be released maybe as a midweek special, maybe on this Friday as the next episode. I haven't decided yet, but that video will be up very soon. So now, let's get into it. Here's an article from CNN, of all places, believe it or not, and actually, well, decently well-written article. Embittered Republicans plot to knock off House GOP's hard-right leader in Virginia primary feud. GOP's hard-right leader, of course, being Bob Good. Okay. Good, the leader of the House Freedom Caucus and one of eight Republicans who voted to oust Kevin McCarthy from the speakership, has been at the center of internal GOP infighting that has left their party's agenda in tatters and their conference embroiled in a bitter civil war. Now Van Orden has joined hands with a band of House Republicans angling to knock Good off in his June primary by propping up his primary opponent, John McGuire. A tactic long viewed, yada yada, we're going to skip through some of this so the whole video is not just me reading the article. Derek Van Orden, you know, Bob's a very bad guy, etc., etc. But Good is undeterred. As he barnstormed through the district last week with fellow GOP hardliners such as Representatives Matt Gaetz of Florida, Andy Biggs of Arizona, and Chip Roy of Texas, they don't mention him there, but Andrew Clyde as well, of, I believe, Georgia, Good said voters in his district don't care what his colleague from Wisconsin thinks, that being Van Orden. And he pointedly accused many of his Republican colleagues in Washington of casting votes that hurt the country and undermine the conservative cause. They've never heard of Derek Van Orden. They could care less what Derek Van Orden thinks, Good said of his constituents, later telling CNN that questions about his Republican colleagues turning against him are, quote, stupid. Rhinos, establishment moderates, do nothing to influence Republican primary elections, Good added. Conservative, courageous warriors like those endorsing me today are being here with me today are the ones who my constituents care about. We'll pause here a second for this article, and we'll look at some of the different endorsements that the two candidates have. I'm going to pull it up here on my computer. Congressman Good has been endorsed, like I said, Matt Gaetz of Florida, Andy Biggs, Andrew Clyde, Mark Meadows, former Trump chief of staff. They've been very vocal. They were going around with Bob doing different, speeches and events with him. Very vocal about how they want Bob back in Congress. I think I mentioned Chip Roy. Another guy who he has not explicitly endorsed Bob, but he said Bob's opponent, Rhino John McGuire, he put out a truth on True Social that just simply said McGuire equals McCarthy. So it wasn't an endorsement of Bob, but it was telling voters of the 5th District, don't vote for McGuire, vote for Congressman Good, which is really big for Bob, too, that a lot of these really people close to Trump and known as Trump allies are endorsing him, because the only thing, because Bob is an incredibly conservative, very talented, very good, godly man and good congressman, no pun intended, has been the whole knock that McGuire's used on him, trying to use it as a wedge issue, is that Bob doesn't like Trump. And that's because Bob, like myself, supported Ron DeSantis in the primary. However, it was not a Bob betrayed Trump, like they would have you believe. No. Instead, all that was the case was that Bob simply thought Ron DeSantis was the better choice, as did I. The day Ron DeSantis dropped out, and it was on the general election at that point, because Nikki Haley wasn't beating Trump, honestly. So Bob endorsed Trump that day, and now he's fully on board with Trump, and he's supporting him for the general. So I don't know what more you want from him. Obviously, there's not much more he could do. But it's very obvious that he's pro-Trump, pro-Trump agenda, and this is just the straws that the McGuire campaign is grasping at. So some endorsements that the two different candidates have. Bob, like I said, Meadows, Biggs, Clyde, Gates, Roy, some really good organizations like Eagle Forum, Attorney Point Action. I mentioned Mark Meadows, Rand Paul has endorsed him. Meanwhile, for McGuire, his list of endorsements is actually pretty much as telling. Marjorie Taylor Greene, who simply has a bone to pick with Bob, that's why she endorsed McGuire. Jen Kiggins, Rhino. Morgan Luttrell, never heard of him. Mike Rogers, Rhino, and known for it. Austin Scott, Derek Van Orden, Ryan Zinke, all Rhinos, congressmen that want Bob booted from Congress. All those guys, Mike Rogers, they all have horrible scores in terms of like conservativeness, I guess I'll say. For the word, they all have terrible scores. Mike Rogers draws in, I believe, 61%. He's just a flat-out rhino. There's no other way of putting with it. And, of course, I know that term gets thrown around loosely a lot, but Republican in name only does describe a lot of these people perfectly. So McGuire's list of endorsements are just as telling as Bob's list of endorsements. They say you can tell a man by his enemies, and you largely can with who Bob's enemies are. Anyway, back to our CNN article. "This is the most important primary in the country," said Matt Gaetz, who led the charge to Alice McCarthy. "Bob is our masthead. Bob Good is our leader among House conservatives to get us on the same page to ensure that it is the people's interests that rise above the special interest. They know that they hate us. They know that they hate us. But you know what? There are more of us." In an interview on Friday, McGuire, a former Navy SEAL, and he's very proud of that, said Good's conduct is, quote, "embarrassing, that the congressman's, quote, name-calling of fellow Republicans is, quote, so childish." John McGuire, who throws around the terms, calls Bob establishment, calls Bob Rhino, but no, our side's the only one that does the name-calling. "I believe that my opponent wants to burn it all down. No solutions kind of guy," McGuire said. "I think that we need leaders that want to grow the party and unite our country." So this is the classic establishment line that McGuire's going with. Bob Good wants to burn it all down. He has no solutions. I want to unite our country. What that is code for, obviously, is Bob is a very strong conservative. He does not bend with the Democrats, and he doesn't even really deal with the squish sort of moderate Republicans. Bob is a hardline conservative, which is what this country needs, someone who will not bend on principle, even if it doesn't give them a majority in Congress or otherwise. But and then the whole unite our country, that simply means give the Democrats what they want, vote with the Democrats. If you don't believe that, well, no, I'm sorry, that's up to you, but that's simply what that means. If you've been in politics for any length of time, you'll know this. McGuire added, "If you're helping the Democrat team to take out the Republican team, who is the rhino?" Bob wasn't taking out the Republican team. He took out John McCarthy. John McCarthy. Fitting, actually. Kevin McCarthy, who was indeed a rhino, and put in a more conservative, albeit still to this point disappointing, Mike Johnson, also a Republican. Good, 58, who won his first race in 2020 by knocking off a moderate GOP incumbent, Denver Riggleman, is one of four Republicans who are being targeted by members from within their own conference. I've talked at length about Denver Riggleman on the show, or rather, my cousin Luke has. When he was on the show, we were talking about different campaign tactics Republicans should and shouldn't use. I'll try to remember to link that if you want to go watch that. Different campaign tactics Republicans should and shouldn't use when campaigning. Denver is a rhino, and again, I use the term very specifically, who, since being ousted by Bob back in 2020 at a very good convention, he has gone on to be a part of the January 6th committee, part of Hunter Biden's defense team. He officiated a gay wedding, which is why, really what mounted the resistance to get him out in the very red 5th district. And I should say, since Denver Riggleman was ousted, when Democrats controlled the redistricting like they did in Virginia, redistricting has taken effect since then, and Bob's district is still more liberal, is now more liberal than it was back in 2020, But in 2022, albeit the Democrats didn't put up much of a ground game, the one primary opponent Bob had, none of those candidates were great, but Bob still won his reelection in 2022 to his second term in Congress by 20 points, just shy of 20 points. I think it's about 18. And so now he's running for his third term. Asking if Good's vote to oust McCarthy prompted the House GOP effort to defeat him, Georgia Representative Austin Scott said, quote, it has something to do with that. So another thing is, it's very obvious that McCarthy and these rhinos in Congress, these establishment members of Congress, are coming for Bob. McCarthy said, or McGuire said that McCarthy hasn't recruited him, but he has spoken with him. That was how he put it. McCarthy told Bob, this is, I've mentioned on the show before, this was not a reported story at the time, but I've been informed by someone very close to the congressman, that McCarthy told Congressman Good on the House floor that he's going to be spending a lot of time in the district this year. So far, that has not gone to fruition, because I think they realize that, oh, you know what, if McCarthy's in this district campaigning for McGuire, that would actually help Bob. So, moving on to the Trump factor, they talk about Trump factor, how Bob endorsed Ron DeSantis, and now he's supporting Trump. I talked about all that. Let's see here. We have more. Let's talk a little bit about Chris LaCivita before we move on to Lauren Boebert. Trump has yet to endorse anyone in the race, the article reads, but one of his top advisors, Chris LaCivita, told a local Virginia news outlet in January, quote, Bob Good won't be electable when we get done with him. Chris LaCivita is someone who has been a Virginia political campaigner advisor for a very long time, and he's since moved up into the national ranks. He's actually managing Trump's campaign currently, which is one of the things that gives me pause and a little bit of hesitation when predicting Trump will win in 2024, because the man's career is built on two things: losing campaigns for conservatives when he works for conservatives, and when he works for rhinos and people trying to take out conservatives very much of the time, as he often does. He is known for being just a nasty, you know, low-down, dirty political tricks in the book type of guy. Now, a couple weeks ago, as the article reports, LaCivita was asked if he stood by that sentiment of Bob Good won't be electable. And LaCivita said, quote, my focus is on electing Donald Trump the 47th president. So he's indicating that his focus has moved away from Congressman Good's race, but with some of the tactics we're seeing from the McGuire campaign, it still has his fingerprints written all over it, as a wise man once told me. Matt Gaetz said, I've done all I can to explain to President Trump that his agenda will be executed to its best efficacy if we have Bob Good in Congress. Quote, a fighting Republican Party will be there for President Trump. Bob Good leads the fighters. So, it'll be very interesting to see. I don't think Trump's going to get involved with an endorsement in this race, not until the general. What I think is going to happen is Trump's not going to get involved. Bob will win the primary election by, we'll say, roughly 8 to 10 points. He'll go on to the general election. Trump will endorse him then. By then, it's not really going to matter because Democrats almost never win in the 5th district. Bob's going to put together, has a very good ground game going in the 5th. The only reason for pause in this, whereas in 2022, Bob ran against a no-name guy, Dan Moy. He won by like 60 points in a convention. The reason for pause here is that McGuire has more name recognition, albeit not all great, and he's a state senator. He has Kevin McCarthy's backing. The National Republicans are going to be pouring millions of dollars, at least hundreds of thousands, if not millions, in the district, trying to get rid of Bob. And then on top of that, the Virginia General Assembly has, since 2022, banned conventions for the for Republican Party. It's not, they didn't outright ban conventions, but they made it to where Virginia law and Republican Party rules about how conventions can be run conflict. So we're looking to see if that can be worked around now. But basically, conventions aren't happening right now in Virginia, meaning it's an open primary, or a primary, meaning that it's much more favorable to establishment guys, meaning Congressman Good, who's a conservative, will have a little bit harder time winning a primary. So were this to be a convention, as we've seen historically in Virginia, in the Republican Party, Bob would probably win by 20 to 30 points. Being in a primary, my official prediction is somewhere 6 to 10 point win for, well, we'll say like 8 to 12 point win for Congressman Good. Probably 6 on the low side, 12 to 15 on the high side. Okay, let's turn our race to Colorado. I'll admit I'm not as, being this, the 5th district is my home district, and Colorado is not. I will read largely from the article from The Hill on this one, and then give my perspective on it, and then we'll wrap up the video. Representative Lauren Boebert clinched the first spot on the ballot for her Colorado GOP primary after securing the highest percentage of delegate support on Friday at the district assembly. Boebert, who's running for the full two-year term, and former Republican Representative Ken Buck's Eastern Colorado district, received 41% support from the delegates gathered. That allows her name to be replaced first on the GOP ballot in June. The process to make the primary ballot is wonky and allows candidates different avenues to achieve it. Candidates can choose to simply collect at least 1,500 signatures from their district. They can choose to only go through the assembly process, where they need to earn at least 30% of the delegate vote, or candidates can do a mix of both, clearing the 1,500 signature threshold and earning at least 10% of the delegate vote, the Colorado News outlet noted. Boebert is doing a mix of both the signature and assembly. On Friday, Boebert only needed 10% to qualify through the hybrid system, and again, as it said, she received 41% support, which is a great sign. Meanwhile, former State Senator Ted Harvey, some other Republicans received 26, 18, and 15% of support. Interestingly, Harvey failed to qualify because he chose to go only through the assembly process. And so instead of getting the signatures, he chose to do just assembly. He needed 30%, only got 26, which means right now, at least, he's not me on that ballot. I'm not super familiar with how that whole system works, but it seems like he would not be on the ballot right now, and he's the biggest challenge, primary challenge to Boebert. It's the latest twist in an ever-evolving saga to win Buck's seat, the Hill's article reads. Boebert currently represents the 3rd congressional district in western Colorado, but is choosing to run in Buck's district, the 4th congressional district in eastern Colorado, to avoid a repeat of last cycle's expensive House race. Boebert has also said she's looking for a fresh start since finalizing the divorce with her ex-husband. Buck announced in November that he would not be seeking another term in the House, opening up a seat, but he threw a curveball last month, suddenly, might I add, you know, not intentionally at all, when he announced he'd be retiring early to set up a special election to fill the remainder of his term. It's so obvious, the petty Republican politics, as always, the conservatives trying to get stuff done, the establishment in the way, as always, and so basically that's how he did it. Buck said he's retiring. Boebert said she'd run for his seat. Then he's like, oh, I'm actually going to retire early. So actually, there's going to be a special election for my seat, giving someone incumbency in that special election for about 6 months until the November election, when Boebert would then be running for Buck's 3rd congressional district seat. So he's trying to do that to weaken Boebert because Boebert can't stop and run, drop out of her current congressional seat and run for the special election in the 3rd, because that would jeopardize the like 2-vote Republican majority we have now. So the Hill article explains it pretty well. That initially complicated Boebert's path to winning Buck's seat, as it creates 2 elections, a special election to fill his term out and a GOP primary for the full 2-year term starting in January, both of which would take place on the same day, June 25th. Boebert couldn't leave her seat to run for the GOP nomination in the special election, which would have triggered a special election for her seat and jeopardize, and for her seat, excuse me, I'll restart that. Boebert couldn't leave her seat to run for the GOP nomination in the special election, which would have triggered a special election for her seat and jeopardized Republican's slim majority in the House. But the Colorado Republican notched a win when former Parker Mayor Greg Lopez was selected to be the GOP nominee for the special election. So he's selected to be the nominee for the special election in Buck's formerly 3rd Congressional District of Colorado. But that guy, Greg Lopez, said he only wanted to run for the remainder of Buck's term, giving Boebert a chance to win the June primary and then win the full 2-year term this November. And then, you know, her district would then, you know, be up for a, her current district would then be up for a different Republican or Democrat, someone to take that seat. So if Greg Lopez sticks by his word, as it seems he's going to, as of now anyway, then everything will kind of work out. Boebert will get Buck's former seat, and then someone else will take the 4th congressional seat in Colorado. Given the red leanings in Colorado's 4th congressional district, whoever wins the GOP primary in June for Buck's seat will be the heavy favorite to win in November for the full 4-year term. Full year term. So, I may have mixed it up earlier, I'm not sure. Colorado's 4th district is Ken Buck. Colorado's 3rd district is Lauren Boebert. Just to set the record straight, that's how the current seats are. Buck obviously just retired. So that seat, the 3rd congressional district, is what Lopez is running for. The 4th congressional district is what Boebert currently holds. She's switching to run for the 3rd, just to make everything clear. Hey guys, Adam here.
I was just editing this and I just realized I never cleared up that confusion. I got it completely wrong. So just to set the record straight, I'm editing it here. I now have the actual correct information. Ken Buck just retired, but he was in the 4th Congressional District of Colorado. Boebert is in the 3rd currently. She is running in the primary and then hopefully eventually in the general for the 4th Congressional District, which is what Ken Buck held and what Greg Lopez is currently running for just to fill the 6 months between Buck and hopefully Boebert. Another candidate will then run in the 3rd Congressional District, which Boebert currently represents. Hope that set the record straight and cleared up any confusion. Sorry about that.
Also, ladies and gentlemen, before we get back to the episode, I've recently been informed that the algorithm loves it when you watch one channel's videos and then you go on and watch another video from that same channel. So if you'd like to do that to help out this one, that'd be appreciated.
And then Boebert said in a statement, quote, honored to have won the support and trust of CD4 delegates as the only Republican to qualify through the assembly process today. I kept my word and I will make you proud, she said. So basically, this is a big win for Boebert. She is a very good conservative. Yes, I know there have been questions about her morality, so to speak, in the past. But if we kicked politicians out of Congress for questions of morality, there would be no Congress. And there would be pretty much no Republicans either. Albeit the Republicans are generally a little bit more, I will use the term morally grounded, I guess, than Democrats a little bit more. There would probably be like 5 members of Congress left, and that's why we kicked them out. Boebert is one of the probably top 10 most conservative congressmen/women in the nation, and we need her to hold her seat. Okay, folks, so let me know what you think. If you live in either of these districts, I would love to hear your opinion, because like I said, especially in the 3rd or 4th District of Colorado, as I've said before, if you're not in a district or a state, if you're not really involved in a race, it's hard to get a feel for how that race is actually going. I have a very good idea of how this district, Bob Good versus John McGuire, is going here in Virginia's 5th district because I live here and I have a very, very good idea of how it's going on. However, in Colorado, obviously I have no really political connections there right now. So let me know what y'all think, even if you don't live in the district, and if you do especially, comment below. As always, folks, thank you for watching. Stay tuned. Those speeches will be up either Friday, sometime either this Friday or maybe next Monday as the episode we'll see. But stay tuned to the channel. Make sure you subscribe because it is coming.
Thank you so much for watching this episode of Fight and Revive with Adam Boyer. We're already being shadow banned on YouTube. So if you would like this specific video and then subscribe to the channel, that would be greatly appreciated and help us reach more people. Thank you for watching.